Laudator Jesus Christus, Vatican and World News.
In the headlines this Wednesday, November the 20th, the Vatican publishes a new book outlining a simplified funerary ritual for the pontiff. The United Nations estimates that all 2 million Gazans are at risk of starvation. And a Ukrainian student sends the Pope a letter marking 1,000 days of war in the country. In the Vatican, I'm Kelsey Gussie. November 19th marked 1,000 days of war in Ukraine. And during his Wednesday general audience the following day, Pope Francis read aloud from a letter a Ukrainian student sent him to commemorate this tragic milestone. "When you speak of our 1,000 days of suffering," the student urged, "speak of our 1,000 days of love as well." Joseph Tulloch reports.
This week's general audience took place one day after the 1,000th day of the war in Ukraine. Toward the end of the audience, at which Ukrainian First Lady Olena Zelenska, wife of President Volodymyr Zelensky, was in attendance, Pope Francis took a moment to reflect on this tragic milestone, which he called a shameful disaster for all of humanity. "The scale of the tragedy," the Pope stressed, "should not dissuade us from standing alongside the martyred Ukrainian people and working for peace, so that weapons might give way to dialogue and combat to encounter." The Pope then noted that 2 days earlier he had received a letter from a university student on the subject of the 1,000-day anniversary. He read aloud from that letter.
Padre, quando mercoledì ricorderà il mio paese e avrà l'opportunità.
Father, when on Wednesday you remember my country and are able to speak to the whole world on the 1,000th day of this terrible war, I ask you not to speak only of our suffering, but also of our faith. Although it is imperfect, that does not diminish its value, because it paints, with painful strokes, a portrait of the resurrected Christ. There have been too many deaths in my life recently. It is difficult to live in a city where a missile kills and wounds dozens of civilians, and you are a witness to so many tears. I would have liked to flee. I would have liked to go back to being a child in my mother's arms. I would have liked to remain in silence and in love. However, I thank God because through this pain, I'm learning greater love. Pain is not only a road to anger and despair. If it is based on faith, it is a good teacher of love. Father, if pain makes you suffer, that means that you love. And so, please, when you speak of our pain, when you remember our 1,000 days of suffering, speak of our 1,000 days of love, too, because only love, faith, and hope give a real meaning to our wounds. I'm Joseph Tulloch.
Ukraine's First Lady Olena Zelenska visited the Vatican's pediatric hospital on Wednesday after having met with Pope Francis. Linda Bordoni has more.
Olena Zelenska is the wife of Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky. She's in Rome meeting Italian authorities and government officials as her country marks 1,000 tragic days of war. On Wednesday morning, Zelenska was received in audience by Pope Francis before attending the general audience and paying a visit to the Vatican's Bambino Gesù Children's Hospital, where she spent time speaking to and comforting the small Ukrainian patients receiving care there. The Bambino Gesù has taken in dozens of Ukrainian wounded or sick children since the Russian invasion in February 2022. Shortly after that invasion, Pope Francis himself made a surprise visit to the little Ukrainian patients and has repeatedly expressed sorrow for their pain and for having been deprived, as he has noted, of their capacity to smile. Olena Zelenska was also present at the general audience in St. Peter's Square on Wednesday morning, and during a brief meeting at the end of the audience, she thanked the Pope for his closeness to the war-struck nation and its suffering people. According to the United Nations Children's Fund, UNICEF, more than 2,400 children have been killed or injured since the escalation of the war in Ukraine 1,000 days ago. In addition to child casualties, which include 659 children killed and 1,747 children injured, millions of children in Ukraine continue to have their lives upended due to ongoing attacks. And among the 3.6 million people who remain displaced within Ukraine and the over 6.7 million who have sought refuge outside the country, 9 out of 10 are women and children whose education has been disrupted and whose homes are no more. I'm Linda Bordoni.
On World Children's Day, Pope Francis announced he will canonize Blessed Carlo Acutis in April 2025 and Blessed Pier Giorgio Frassati in August. Speaking at the general audience, the Pope also said the Vatican will host a summit on children's rights in February next year, with the theme, Love Them and Protect Them. The Pope also established the Pontifical Committee for the World Day of Children. And in a letter, he said the committee will seek to promote the Church's mission of advocating for the rights and dignity of children. Devin Watkins has the story.
A child's gaze is one of awe and openness to mystery, seeing what adults often fail to perceive. Pope Francis upheld the importance of children in a kirograph establishing the Pontifical Committee for the World Day of Children. He entrusted the new committee with a mission of promoting, organizing, and animating the World Day for Children. The Pope also appointed Father Enzo Fortunato as its first president. In his kirograph, Pope Francis noted that the social status of children has changed greatly throughout human history. In Jesus' time, children were not highly regarded, he said. They were considered not yet men and were even seen as a nuisance by rabbis focused on explaining the mysteries of the kingdom. Jesus, added the Pope, overturns this mentality and urges his own disciples to imitate the wonder with which children approach life. Disciples, said the Holy Father, are called to grow in trust, abandonment, wonder, and amazement, qualities, he said, that age and disillusionment often extinguish in humanity. Since children have been redeemed by the blood of Christ, they too have inherent value in their current stage in life, not only for what they will contribute to the Church and society in the future when they become adults, he said. Pope Francis then urged the Church to give voice to the rights of children as her duty as an expression of charity. The World Day of Children, he said, offers an opportunity to put children at the center of the Church's pastoral action. The Pope said the World Day also helps children to know, love, and serve our Lord Jesus Christ. In conclusion, Pope Francis said the new Pontifical Committee for the World Day of Children will keep the annual event from becoming an isolated event. Rather, he said, the World Day should become a sustained effort to ensure that pastoral care for children increasingly becomes a qualified priority in the Church's evangelizing and educational mission. I'm Devin Watkins.
As Devin mentioned, November 20th is World Children's Day, and Sister Florina tells us more.
Every year, the 20th of November marks World Children's Day, a global event aimed at raising awareness about children's rights, fostering international unity, and improving their welfare. World Children's Day, first established in 1954, also marks the anniversary of the date when the UN General Assembly adopted both the Declaration and the Convention on the Rights of the Child. The UN invites people from all walks of life, including children themselves, to play an important role in creating societies, communities, and nations where children can live in peace and harmony.
Members of the United Nations Security Council issued a call to increase the aid reaching people in need in Gaza, warning that the situation in the area was getting worse. As Nathan Morley reports, amid a severe food crisis, food prices in Gaza have soared following the recent looting of aid trucks.
With humanitarian aid trickling in and still inadequate, the United Nations estimates that all 2 million Gazans are now at risk of starvation. Since the beginning of November, Israel says it's allowed in an average of 88 aid trucks a day, a fraction of the 600 daily trucks that aid agencies say are needed to meet the population's vital needs. Before the war, a bag of flour cost 10 euros and powdered milk 7 euros. Today, however, in the central and southern Gaza Strip, where most of the population has fled, these prices have reached 95 euros and 76 euros respectively, when, that is, it's possible to find them. Meanwhile, on the ground, the Gaza Strip Civil Defense announced on Wednesday morning that 10 people, including a baby, had been killed in an Israeli airstrike on the Palestinian territory. In a statement, the Israeli army reported the death of one of its soldiers fighting in northern Gaza, in which an officer was also seriously injured. In a separate development, an Israeli air raid targeted the city of Palmyra in central Syria. The area is famous for its Greco-Roman temples. Elsewhere, Lebanon's national news agency, the NNA, reported on Wednesday of heavy clashes in the south of the country, adding that Israeli forces were trying to advance towards local hills under intense artillery and air cover. Meanwhile, the US Special Envoy, Amos Hochstein, who's trying to reach a ceasefire between Hezbollah and Israel, announced after talks in Beirut that he was heading directly to Jerusalem. For Vatican Radio, this is Nathan Morley reporting.
The United States on Wednesday vetoed a UN Security Council resolution for a ceasefire in Israel's war in Gaza, accusing council members of cynically rejecting attempts at reaching a compromise. The 15-member council voted on a resolution put forward by its 10 non-permanent members in a meeting that was called for an immediate, unconditional, and permanent ceasefire, and separately demand the release of hostages. A senior U.S. official who briefed reporters on condition of anonymity ahead of the vote said the U.S. would only support a resolution that explicitly calls for the immediate release of hostages as part of a ceasefire. In other news, an updated edition of a liturgical book used for papal funeral rites has been published. Prepared by the Vatican's Office for the Liturgical Celebrations of the Supreme Pontiff, Pope Francis approved the updated volume last April. Thaddeus Jones tells us more in this report.
The Office of the Liturgical Celebrations of the Supreme Pontiff has produced and released the second edition of the liturgical book for papal funeral rites, approved on the 29th of April this year by Pope Francis, who received the first copy of the printed volume last 4 November. A number of new elements are introduced, including the ascertainment of death no longer in the room of the deceased, but in the chapel, and the immediate deposition inside the coffin, the exposition for the veneration by the faithful of the Pope's body inside the open coffin, and the elimination of the traditional three coffins of cypress, lead, and oak. The liturgical book is presented as a new edition following its predecessor, the Editio Tipica of the Ordo, as it's called, approved in 1998 by St. John Paul II and published in 2000, which was used in the funeral of the same pontiff in 2005 and with adaptations in those of Pope Benedict XVI in 2023. Archbishop Diego Ravelli, Master of Apostolic Ceremonies, explained that a second edition became necessary, first of all, because Pope Francis had requested it, as he himself had stated on several occasions, to simplify and adapt certain rites so that the celebration of the funeral of the Bishop of Rome may better express the faith of the Church in risen Christ. And the renewed rite also needed to emphasize even more that the funeral of the Roman pontiff is that of a pastor and disciple of Christ and not of a powerful person of this world. The Office of Liturgical Celebrations, with the help of various experts, carried out a thorough revision of the entire book and worked on the liturgical texts and individual rites. Archbishop Ravelli says the internal structure of the stations and the texts has been revised in the light of the experience gained with the funeral services of St. John Paul II and Benedict XVI, as well as the current theological and ecclesial sensitivity and of the recently renewed liturgical books. I'm Thaddeus Jones.
And that brings us to the end of this edition of Vatican and World News. For more on these and other stories, please visit our website at www.vaticannews.va. And you can also catch the latest updates on our Facebook, X, and Instagram pages. Many thanks go to Alberto Giovanetti and Linda Bordoni in studio. In the Vatican, I'm Kelsey Gussie.